Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
You suck at this.
It is Saturday, November 2nd. Crown Jewel just concluded. I am here with the Blueprint, Matt Morgan. Matt, how are you doing today?
Horrible, because I felt like this stupid Crown Jewel pay-per-view held me captive and from having fun with my family on a normal Saturday afternoon. Granted, it's gray here in Florida. It's raining a little bit. But still, I could have had way more fun than watching this crap that they try to put out there and call a pay-per-view.
It was one of those shows where if you missed it, you didn't miss much.
You didn't miss anything. No, you did not. You missed Sami Zayn, whoopee-doo, blah, blah.
I mean, there was some good stuff on the show.
Not for my opinion.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Crown Jewel actually opened with the Bloodline versus the Bloodline.
Bad call.
Yeah. Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and Tama Tonga versus Roman Reigns and the Usos. Roman Reigns and Jimmy Uso came out first, and then they gave Jey Uso his own entrance, which was pretty cool. I thought that was a cool little touch.
It was, and they were going ballistic for him, which is proving the point even more. He can stand alone as a main event.
Yeah. The match itself, it was there, I thought. The end saw, so there was one spot in the match where Solo hit Roman with the spike, and it looked like a three count. And then they kind of cut away to the camera angle, and it showed like, I think it was Jimmy Uso backing up the pin.
I'll tell you what happened. It was a terrible camera angle that should have picked up the hard camera view, where you would have seen Jimmy coming in under the bottom rope to break it up and pull Solo's foot off of Roman from pinning him. He did get there in time. The problem is that they never have bad camera shots at WWE. They're usually we're usually praising them for making great camera angles, but mm-hmm. this one they lost on this, and that's why everybody thought it was a miscounted two and it should have been a three, but it was not. If you go back and watch it again, Jimmy did get to Solo just in the nick of time.
Yeah, watching it live, it looked like a referee botch, but
it
as
did.
You pointed out, yeah, he did make it in time. And then the finish of the match saw all the guys brawling. Solo took advantage, hit Reigns with I think it was two Samoan spikes, and got the pin. So Solo Sikoa pinning Roman Reigns to win this match. That one kind of surprised me. I figured the heels were winning, but I didn't think Roman would be the one taking the pin.
Kinda. Big, huge surprise. Well, Matt, I thought you said the pay-per-view sucked. It did, and this is part of why it sucked. They kicked the event off with having Superman of their company, the modern-day John Cena, if you will, but better, Roman Reigns taking a pinfall. You don't give a Roman Reigns pinfall, you know, where they were at tonight, in my opinion. I have a lot of problems politically with where they're playing this at, by the way. Mm-hmm. They just signed that Netflix deal, so I have a lot of issues that they're still going back there for the money grab and the get the bag, yo. Okay, I have a huge problem with that. They're making tons of money on their own accord. They don't need this quick payday as much as they used to need it. And well, Matt, this is a business. They're supposed to be making money, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know, but tell that to, you know, that young reporter that lost his life over there and how they treated him. I'm trying to make this political, but I'm shocked that now with Vince out of the way, that they're still making a terrible PC move by even having anything over there and trying to pretend anything they do over there is remotely akin to Western civilization, because that's the BS they want to promote out there and act like they're doing good in the world. And no, they're not. No, they're not. They did some terrible things to a very important reporter here in America, and I'll never forget it. And I didn't cover this when Wrestling Inc. back in the day, Raj, when me and you were still doing the podcast there, when mm-hmm. they would go over to Saudi Arabia, because I didn't like it. And I don't protest a lot of things, but I protested that.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't do those shows.
What was that?
you wouldn't do the shows at all.
Yeah, it's just not being a nerd or anything, but I just didn't like it. It felt awkward, and it feels even more awkward now that they've got their payday from Netflix. They don't need to be doing this crap anymore, placating this piece of you-know-what that's over in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. But with the finish...
Sorry. The finish... I'm sorry, I'm making up my soapbox. My apologies. Horrible waste of a pin to Roman Reigns on this pay-per-view at this place of all places. This is a throwaway pay-per-view. Everybody knows it. They have to make up fake championships, fake rings, as other trophies and BS like that to try to put it over as an important pay-per-view you can't miss. Yes, you can miss this. Mm-hmm. And out of all of the shows they've done over there, by the way, this to me was the most inconsequential of them all that they've ever had over in Saudi Arabia. And I mean that. And you have Roman Reigns take a pinfall, shoulders to the mat to solo, whether it's a six-man tag or not. That's a big deal. You don't waste it in Saudi Arabia, this crap throwaway pay-per-view. That is a WrestleMania main event moment waiting to happen. That's what you use it for. Not on this throwaway, not even B pay-per-view, but D pay-per-view.
Well, I think they've got Survivor Series coming up, obviously. That's going to be War Games, Roman's Bloodline versus Solo's Bloodline. And then you got Saturday night's main event. They need something for that. I'm guessing that's going to be Roman versus Solo. So I guess to do that.
So Solo, well, hang on. What happened to Solo in Roman at WrestleMania when you build it properly?
That's not happening. That's definitely not happening.
It's going to be Rock. It's not Rock versus Roman. It's going to be Rock versus Cody, no?
It's if Rock is not in, because he's not featured in the WrestleMania promos. I mean, he might not be. It kind of seems like they're not committing. They're not putting Rock in the promos and the posters yet. And so what it seems like is they're not sure he can do it yet. If he can do it, he's in. If they can't, they got to have backup plans. And so, I mean, when you look at the landscape and realistically where they could go now, you have tons of WrestleMania main events that you could do. Seth Rollins versus Punk for the title. Roman versus Cody. Cody versus Cena. There's just this Cena versus Gunther.
Whoever Cena's wrestling against is an automatic loss, so there's not a lot of drama behind it. There just isn't.
I don't think you could do that with Cena this time around because he's around for the whole year. And just having him lose every pay-per-view, I think he's going to be winning most of his matches, or at least early on.
Not at Mania, though.
I think he breaks the record. I think he beats Gunther and breaks the record.
Oh.
I think he gets that's a big
interesting,
win.
Hang on. That's an interesting take. Okay, hang on. Then he loses it the next night or something?
No, like at SummerSlam. Holds it for a couple months, beats a few people, and then loses it to
nobody's know, buying John Cena's bald spot pinning anybody at this point.
The problem is they've beaten him too much, but
yes, true.
But it's not hard to switch that back around.
Okay, well, let's all be a fan and sit back and let it play out.
So after the match, Solo's Bloodline just beat the hell out of Roman and the Usos. Then Sami Zayn came out, big pop, teased for a second that he was going to hug Solo, and then was on Team Roman. They fought off the heels. Sammy was going for a big knee on, I believe, Solo. And then Solo got out of the way and he hit Roman. So technically, yeah, so, Sammy's so, not. So they're keeping that storyline going until.
So let me clean that up a little bit. So Solo's in the middle of the ring. He had all four baby faces. Roman, both Usos in each corner themselves. Sammy in the fourth corner. And they all were going to do some type of offensive move to Solo, who's like, oh-ish, I'm screwed here. I'm about to get my clock cleaned by one of these four. And as Roman went in to hit his tackle or spear rather, Sami Zayn went with this flying Wolanda, like Shawn Michaels used to do it a lot, like a upper leg kick. It wasn't a super kick, but like a leg lariat to the throat, and Solo ducked it and he misdirected and actually accidentally hit Roman. And then, of course, he was like, oh, my God, Roman, I didn't mean that. My bad. And try to pick him up. He's like, well, you're in the way. And then left the ring. So we're going to full of suspense. We got to tune in to SmackDown or Raw, whichever, to see on how that plays out.
And there should be a big pop when Roman and Sammy finally hug. And it's going to be Roman, Sammy, and the Usos in War Games at Survivor Series against Solo, Fatu and the Tongans.
This look is so quick. I feel all of it's so fast. After we waited forever for Roman to come back, right? This is Roman's second ever match. He took a pinfall to Solo. Like, it's annoying because they're the Timu bloodline. Everybody knows it, except for Jacob Fatu, of course. He's a headliner waiting to happen, but I don't know.
Do you think the bloodline story has kind of reached its, it's kind of going downhill now?
It can rejuvenate itself if it brings in Zillow Fatu, obviously. Umaga's son is very talented and very raw, very young, very green, but is impressive looking with tons of intensity, similar to that of Jacob. In retrospect, I can't believe I'm saying this because I was big fans of them when they're for New Japan. But by bringing in the Tongans, I think that's where they started to water themselves down a little bit, because you have one half of them that can't work his way out of a paper bag. No disrespect.
Hopefully he's not listening right now.
But I'm not trying to be a jerk, but
I know. I get what you're saying for sure. We got a couple of super chats. Anthony Tornado Y with the $4.99 super chat. Thank you, Anthony. Cody finally got his ring that he couldn't get from MJF and AEW. Cody finally finished his story.
Anthony, that ring MJF has for AEW, or whoever the hell has it now, because MJF apparently lost it, if I remember correctly, is akin, my favorite saying in the world, to being the world's tallest short person. Nobody gives a bleep.
Stellar Justin Lopez with the $9.99 super chat, our good friend. It was whack. This pay-per-view was whack. I was bored after the bloodline stuff. Agreed. I'm pissed they gave away the Cody and Gunther match for a randomly made-up title that will mean nothing in the long run.
Me too. And on one hand, it was cool to see a lot of the fans in that arena be so accepting of WWE, be fans like we have here in America. It's just the leadership that they have there and what they did to an incredibly important reporter at the time. Named Jared Khashoggi. That's my biggest beef, not to be super political about it, but Hunter is smarter than this. WWE brass is smarter than this. So is TKO. So I don't get why they're still going over there, unless I'm missing something, Raj, and there's like a 10-year deal that I'm unaware of. And they have a contract. And they have to do it? They can't get out?
I mean, I don't know what, you know, I think they have to. I mean, it's a contract.
If they're in that kind of ironclad deal where they cannot get out of it because they can get sued, okay, then maybe different ballgame. I would take the lawsuit, actually, because the PC you're going to get from it is going to be all good fodder for you, good favor for you, that you're taking a stand against a very, very corrupt government and leadership there. Not even government, leadership.
Well, it's gone the other way, actually, because now TKO is now doing UFC shows in Saudi Arabia now, too. And now you got the big boxing fights going to Saudi.
I've seen it. Is that where Tyson's fight's going to be?
With Jake Paul? I mean,
Jake Paul. Or so, yeah.
I don't think so. Gosh, I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
But
I get the payday. I do get the money grab and get the bag, yo. I understand that. But they're making money head over heels right now in WWE. This is a chance in which you can make a great political statement that you're not on board with this crap anymore. And to have them come in the ring and present Cody this championship, this is leadership that literally, I'm not going to get the weeds on this, folks. Look it up, Jared Khashoggi and how he lost his life over there.
Yeah. Up next, we had the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Match with Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair defending the WWE Women's Tag Team titles against Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, Kairi Sane, and Io Sky, and Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson. Now, I thought this was awesome. I thought
you got a lot of important girls on this. I was happy about that part.
Yeah, this was one of those matches when you're looking at the card, you figure there's one that's going to be kept short, and I thought this would be the match, and they didn't. They gave them time, and I thought everyone busted their ass. I thought this match was outperformed my expectations.
Yeah, me too.
I thought Chelsea Green looked great. She came across like a star waiting to happen. The Lash Legend, I think she's going to be a huge star one day. So,
me too.
She's the NIL deal girl. At the end of the match, they did the Doomsday Device on Piper Niven. Jade Cargill had Piper impressive. Up on her shoulders, and Bianca very delivered those lines. So, yeah, good stuff. This was best match on the show of the two up to this point.
I agree.
Up next, another really good match, Seth Rollins against Bronson Reed. I was kind of surprised by this finish, but these guys just had a hell of a brawl. At the end, Seth hit Bronson with the curb stomp, and then he went to the top rope and hit a super curb stomp to get the win. I thought it was really good. I was surprised. I thought they were going to have Bronson win this one, but, you know, it all depends on their plans for Seth.
I agree with that, and that was a very big win for him. I like how he protected the man's size by having to do the curb stomp off the, you know, a higher rope. That made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think if they're going to do Seth versus CM Punk, and if it's for the title, I think it makes sense for Seth to win here. But
me too.
We'll see. I know a lot of people were upset that Bronson lost.
My focus on my camera is being all weird. I don't know why I have it hardwired. Doesn't make
sense. Did you change anything just to, because it was fine just a couple minutes ago?
No, nothing. It just started getting blurry out of left field. It's not hooked up to my Wi-Fi. It's hardwired.
That's weird. Okay.
I know it is.
Oh, you sound great, though. So we had our first of the two champion versus champion matches. Women's World Champion Liv Morgan defeated WWE Women's Champion Nia Jax to win the WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship. A bunch of fuckery in this match. But the match itself was nothing. You know, Tiffany Stratton teased, you know, the cash in. And then you saw Dom interfere and Raquel Rodriguez interfere, all sorts of stuff. At the end, Nia Jax was on the ropes. Raquel knocked her off. Liv Morgan hit the Oblivion to get the pinfall win. And after the match, Triple H handed the Crown Jewel title belt to Liv, who couldn't help herself, started crying despite being a heel. But overall, I thought match-wise, this was the weakest thing on the show. And it looks like we lost Matt for a second. Let's see if we get him back. And while we're waiting for Matt, we'll get a couple of these chats. Ricky Sinclair is asking, are there any top stars still refusing to go to Saudi? I think CM Punk. I think that's a big reason he wasn't there. With what we were talking about earlier, Anthony Tornado Y. Oh, yes. The Jake Paul fight with Mike Tyson is in Cowboy Stadium in Dallas. And the Jonathan Lyman brand, the money is so much, they ain't leaving Saudi. And we got Matt back. Matt, how's it going?
Annoying.
It looks better.
My camera, sorry.
No problem. It looks better. Up next, it was supposed to be Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. This match didn't end up happening, but they had an awesome brawl. So, I mean, it was basically a match with no finish. They just went crazy. There was one point where Randy Orton gave an RKO to Adam Pearce. They brawled through the crowd. Owens hit Orton with an equipment box and
laid.
And at the end, Owens climbed up, did a crazy flying elbow onto Orton.
Just give the finish, because this pay-per-view was so that annoying and weak. Just get the finishes. Don't get the action. Just get the finishes.
That was the finish.
Don't give it, the ring dimension start. Just get into the finish, because it was that much a waste of everybody's time, including mine.
All right. So you got to think that's probably happening again at probably Survivor Series, and then Kevin Owens gets Cody at Saturday night's main event, something like that.
Again, don't care. Kevin Owens is made important right now, again, out of left field, but they've made him unimportant for, I'd say, 4 months before this time.
Yeah. All right. Then we had LA Knight versus Carmelo Hayes and Andrade.
For just the really US quick, title. Say what the finish was so I can tear it apart.
Sure. Hayes went for the facebuster on Andrade. LA Knight caught him with the BFT, got the pin.
Okay, so here's another example of a throwaway pay-per-view. And no offense, not doing any favors to LA Knight. LA Knight should not be in this kind of a match at this point. Yeah, he's a U.S. champion. These two talents are not on a U.S. championship level yet. Not because they're not great in the ring. They both are, both Andrade and the other guy. They're both very, very impressive in the ring. I'm not saying they're not. But as far as putting equity into them every single week with layers to the storyline, layers more importantly to the character, We still don't know who the hell either one of them are. We know one of them's super cocky. That's not enough to get over. And Andrade's a great in-ring talent. That's not enough to get over either. So it's a throwaway match. And more importantly, I don't like how they're bringing LA Knight down to their level. I just don't. I think that's a waste of his time, waste of his talents. This U.S. championship is 6 months way too late that they put it on him. If you go back in time and look at when he was red hot and when they should have done it, or even intercontinental level, and they blew it. And he gets, you know, the kissing your cousin award, second place trophy crap with this so-called championship that nobody cares about. He's bigger than this. He should not even have this title. He should be right underneath the main event matches, playing semi-main event. He's still over with the crowd, despite how they've booked him against these people that nobody cares about. When you book a talent that's that over against talents that nobody cares about, it eventually whittles that over talent to being not over and eventually getting under.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Who would you book LA Knight with next?
A big next, he's U.S. champion. I wouldn't have him as U.S. champion, honestly. I'd have one of those lesser talents with the title to help them get over more, an Andrade or somebody like that, because that's what the title means, right? To be around somebody like that's waste. Not somebody that I'll argue is a main event reactive to the fans type of talent like LA Knight is. He is. He gets a main event pop. He gets a main event reaction still, despite their misbookings with him. It's a Sami Zayn type of booking I would put him against. It's somehow in that Bloodline feud, somehow. It's tagging with Cody Rhodes from time to time in a tag match instead of Randy against the other two main event level heels that they'd be working against. Yeah. That's what I do with him.
So like up in that mix with like Randy, KO, like, those kind of guys.
Yeah, because look what Hogan did for Warrior back in the day. They would do like house show tag team matches where Hogan would tag with Warrior while they were feeling out Warrior's reaction versus Hulk's. I'd like to see what LA Knight's pop is and reaction is compared to Cody's.
Yeah. And to your point, someone winning the U.S. title, I actually thought this was going to be would be a good spot for Carmelo to get the title.
There you go.
He's someone that'd get elevated by it.
There you go. He can use that title. It'd help him.
Yeah. So Raw is being taped Sunday in Riyadh, and there's going to be a world title number one contenders match between Seth Rollins, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, and Sheamus. And then finally, we had the main event.
How the hell did Sheamus get in that? No, for real. He's obviously taking the pin.
Yeah, but who would win that? Because you got to think that person's wrestling is wrestling Gunther at Survivor Series.
Nobody will care. Unless, okay, maybe Damian Priest to get his title back because it's a rematch. I could see some.
But they just had Dom beat him on Raw.
I get that, but there's more. Nobody's giving a shit about Dom versus Gunther because that will be a bloodbath. Gunther will cave his little bony chest in with chops. It will last like 5 seconds. It ain't going to be Sheamus, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's Damian Priest and or Seth Rollins. One of those two I can see doing it.
Yeah.
Winning.
And then finally, the main event, Cody Rhodes, WWE champion Cody Rhodes against World Heavyweight Champion Gunther for the Men's Crown Jewel Championship. I thought they had a really good match.
Great match. It was. Yeah.
At the end, Rhodes beat Gunther clean, which was kind of surprising. I actually thought they'd have Gunther win this one.
They did it, but they also still protected Gunther. Folks at home, if you didn't get a chance to see it, this is the Bret Hart versus Rowdy Piper WrestleMania finish for Intercontinental title that Corey misquoted and said he won the championship. No, he didn't. He won the Intercontinental Championship versus Piper in this match at the time, back in the day, where essentially what's his name? Cody went up to the top rope to try to hit his Cody cutter. Gunther caught him in a sleeper, which is really perfectly timed because Gunther is so good, and was trying to get, you know, fight for the sleeper still. And Cody rolled his feet up behind his head, behind his neck, if you can imagine that, and pinned Gunther, who was still trying to wrap the sleeper on him. 1, 2, 3. As Gunther kicked out at 3.5, which I liked for attention to detail. Gunther came to him at the end of the match. He did shake Cody's hand, but then snatched it away and pissed, very pissed off about it, as a heel should do. It was, you're right, Raj. This was a very good match. I just, again, I'm pissed and annoyed they threw it away at this throwaway D-rated pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah. As you said, it was the WrestleMania 8 match. Gunther was Piper. Yes. Cody was Brett. They've actually done that and the Brett Bulldog finish a lot between WWE and AEW. It's like, you could tell they're big fans of Brett, and they like to do like some of his finishes, even Brett and Diesel. So overall, that was the show. Like I mentioned, they're taping Raw tomorrow. A couple of quick news notes.
No, before you move on to news items, give it a rating. 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, 1 being the worst thing ever.
So for me, if you look at it outside of the politics, outside of where they had it, I thought the Bloodline story was pretty good with Sammy. I thought most of the matches were really good. So I'd give it like a 6.5, 7. There's no surprises at all. But
that's what I'd give it. I agree with that.
Yeah.
6.5 for me.
Also today, it was announced Goldberg's retirement match will take place with WWE next year. They kind of did the angle with Gunther, so I'm presuming that's who it'll be against.
Of course, it will be.
You think this will be at WrestleMania? Because if it does, that would mean Gunther's not the champion at that point, because I can't see that being the world title match.
I think about that way. Here's what, man, then maybe you're onto something with, No, seriously, now I'm confused, because it has to be Gunther, because he's the one he talked ish to. It has to, because you have to play those highlight clips of how it happened, how it was set up, and how this got staged, right? But at the same token, he can still be champion, and he needs to job Goldberg out in 10 seconds flat. It cannot be a back-and-forth match. And they damn sure, well, we know they won't, because Vince is not there anymore. Vince is the idiot that said, hey, Goldberg should be Brock in 15 seconds. So he's not there anymore. That decision will not be made. And respect to Goldberg, great career, one of the greatest streaks of all time. We all were fans of his. I was in college. He was one of the most over talents of all time during his height of his success. But we all get old. It is what it is. And Gunther would absolutely eviscerate him, and he needs to eviscerate him.
Yeah, I don't think they would have him eviscerate him for the, if it's his retirement match, just to out of respect to Goldberg. But
Wait, hang on. Hang on. No, he's already been retired. He's not wrestling no more, dude. You can't not wrestle for 3 or 4 years and then come out of left field and go, oh, this is going to be my official retirement match.
But he never officially retired. This is his official.
Oh my God, dude, he's old. What do you mean? This is so I retired.
I'm not saying he wins.
No, but you're deeming it and you're overrating it by calling his official quote unquote retirement match. He's already been retired. The only reason this happened was because an opportunity took place 4 years or 3 years after his last match, which was horrendous. No disrespect to him, but come on, of course he retired. All these matches versus Taker. That was terrible. What's the name? Brock's matches. Those two matches versus Brock. Those were all post Goldberg retirement. Yeah. He's retired. Just because you come back out of retirement for a match doesn't mean now you're not retired. It just means you came out of retirement for one match. You went back into retirement because he's not working a schedule. He doesn't show up once a year, not even. So no, he is retired. So
but I don't think
official retirement.
Match. Do you think Goldberg would come back for? In his head, his last match, and to just get destroyed and killed.
I don't think he has a choice if he wants to get the payday that he's looking for.
I don't think it's the payday. I think he wants to go. He didn't like how he how the last match went. And he wants to go.
So he wants to have a good match. That means, right? So you're saying, okay, I see what you're saying. So he wants to be able to have like a 5-minute, 10-minute match in which he's not botching, messing moves up because he's blown up or he hurt his head. hit his head on the post, which is a real thing, by the way, and it does hurt like hell, and you do concuss yourself and knock yourself loopy. I've done it myself. That he did versus Taker. I still don't care. No, there's just, I like Bill. I'm friends with Bill. I still don't want to see it. I don't care. The only thing I care about is if it's versus Gunther, he's got to kill him. We just watched Gunther get pinned by Cody tonight. This was not good for him.
Yeah. Cha-cha-cha saying Goldberg retiring at Saudi would be appropriate. I mean, he was kind of brought back for a lot of those big Saudi events. Stellar Justin Lopez bringing up that Goldberg went to the Hall of Fame 6 years ago.
See?
Veggie Gamer saying rerun his awkward WCW match with retirement match. And Justin Lopez, the Taker match still gives him nightmares. I remember watching that in Costa Rica. I took time in the middle of the afternoon in Costa Rica to watch that, and it was that was god awful.
More importantly, of course, you're in Costa Rica.
That was many years ago. Terrence Witted with the $4.99 super chat saying he needs to start utilizing the talent that's not always showcased because I feel like I'm watching the same matchups.
So, Terrence, do you want to frigging showcase an 80-year-old man?
I don't know. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what he's saying here. I think he's saying they need to bring up more talent.
Oh, okay. I agree with that.
Razor with the £9.99 super chat saying, I get the vibes Seth is going to beat Punk, which lowers Punk's drawing stock, and I don't like Seth's gimmick. Cody and his promos is starting to become bad AEW Cody, which is like Backlund in 83. Wow. I don't know. You think Cody's getting stale with his baby face?
Honestly, after that great promo he did after his first WrestleMania, he came back and beat Seth. That very next Monday Night Raw where he declared why he's back, going for the world title, what happened to his dad, why he wants his belt, and started setting the tone for his story, right? The thesis for his story of winning the championship. From that promo on, I've caught at least 20 times of Cody overly rehearsed, using big words, thesaurus words that he's obviously wrote out in advance. And these are the patronizing words and terms he uses that turns fans off. And he did in AEW. But for some reason, it did not happen in WWE. The kids would still lose their ish for him. I asked my neighbor, again, 12-year-old kid who loves Cody. And I go, don't you think he uses like two big words to try to sound like fancy and more intelligent than he is? I'm telling the 12-year-old this, by the way. He goes, no, he's got great music. He's got pyro. He wins his matches. He's not the champion. That's all kids care about. So I think WWE is a different ball game than what AEW was, because AEW is such a specific niche audience that just cares about the in-ring action, by the way, which Cody can go. So I never understood their hatred of him in that regard. But those promos can hurt him from time to time, but not in WWE. I feel he's untouchable there until he starts doing it on purpose and goes overboard, where he's purposely trying to become heel. And I do feel Cody wants to become heel eventually. I do.
Yeah. Real quick, did you watch Dynamite on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Do you see the fans starting to turn on Adam Cole like they did with Cody?
Oh, of course I did. Of course I did. How? And it's not his fault. Yeah. They did this to him by the booking. They made him the devil who took away, at the time, the one time we were able to cheer for MJF as a babyface. Uh-huh. And he ruined it all, took everything from him. And what, 6 months, a year, whatever, how long it's been later, we're supposed to be like, yeah, Adam, we agree with you. MJF was going to turn on you first, so you struck first. Good for you. No.
Ebony Washington bringing up, I'm with that 12-year-old. All I care about is the music and pyrotechnics. That's why Ultimate Warrior was such a big star, right?
As a kid, I went ballistic over him. I really did. I love Ultimate Warriors.
Entrance in the not the pyro, but the music and the
pomp and circumstance.
Freaking awesome. Did you hear what Cody said about wrestlers' physiques, by the way?
No.
So he said, we are wrestling with our shirts off, folks. You're standing next to some of the best athletes in the world. You'll hear fans say, like, you can't body shame wrestlers. What are you talking about? We're standing there half naked and you paid hundreds of dollars to sit here. You can body shame me all you want. I heard that quote, I thought of you.
Good for you, Cody. I agree. So for the Roman Reigns of the world, Jey Uso, look at Jey too. Jey's completely transformed his physique. You can do it. You can put the time into the damn gym and your diet, especially nowadays where you can bring, we didn't have this when I was wrestling. You had to go to Wendy's and ask for a grilled chicken breast sandwich to drive through and just eat the two chicken breasts, but not the bun, right? But now you get to take these Tupperwares with you of actual meal prep meals that are good for you, healthy for you. There's no excuse anymore. You deep freeze them and you bring them on the road with you. You ship them to where you're going to be wrestling. And they have gyms, God forbid, folks. I know many of the talents are allergic to them, but they have gyms where you can train your body, do cardio, get in good shape, like Jacob Fatu has as well, by the way, I'll throw in there. And Roman was sliced and diced up tonight once again. You watched Roman Reigns' entrance tonight when they showed the back of his back camera angle as he was walking down the entranceway to the ring. You can see veins coming out of the dude's back and triceps and abs. And again, I just give so many more props to people like that because I want to pay money for somebody that looks like that they can kick somebody's ass in a real fight. I'm not saying all muscle men could kick somebody's ass in a real fight. But go back to the 80s and watch some of those talents. Some of those guys that didn't have bodies like Harley Race, at least Harley looked so scarred up, so beat up, so grizzled. Mm-hmm. You knew that dude has thrown down at a bar a few times in his time,
yeah.
Right? These guys are so prepubescent looking and too gleamy, too shiny looking. And they don't look like they work out, the majority of them. Because they're too busy playing video games, which I have no problem with that, and watch how many stars Meltzer's rating them instead of getting their lazy asses in the gym and take it more seriously so they can get a pay raise. Cody completely transformed his body. He's another one. And I'm glad Cody gave that comment because if you're the top of the top and you're in WWE, you should be in the gym five damn days a week trying to make your body the best it possibly can so you can say to WWE, hey, I want a raise. Look what I've done. You guys gave me this spot in the mid card, and I still look. Drew McIntyre is a great example of that. Drew was booked in the mid card for so many years, came back to WWE with a completely different physique, completely different at 6'7", and looked immediately like a perennial main event heavyweight champion waiting to happen. When he first came back to NXT, look it up. He looked night and day different than what he was doing because he was drinking all the time with the one-man band crap he was doing with the others, right? Before he was getting jobbed out and then eventually got fired by WWE. It makes a difference in believability. It just does. So when I see folks not taking full advantage of their opportunity, I think it's a missed opportunity not to give these fans everything you possibly can. Just because you wrestle a hard match is not giving them everything you can. That's giving them everything you can in a 7 to 10 minute segment of a wrestling match. What are you doing when nobody's watching? That is what makes stars. Are you working on your promos in the bathroom mirror, watching your facial expressions, your body language? Nowadays, you have iPhones, right? So now you can videotape yourself cutting promos and what your body language looks like, your facial expressions look like, and get your ass in the gym. And 5 days a week, take it seriously. Give yourself 2 off days on Saturday and Sundays and get back to the gym Monday through Friday. That's what I'd be doing if I got to be paid, if I was getting paid even a quarter of the money WWE is paying these talents today.
Yeah. And it's not WWE specific. You look at the guys who have been on top.
No, but Cody made the comment.
Right, right. But I was saying like Swerve and Omega and MJF, all these guys, you know, look like athletes. So.
I agree with that. And you don't have to be big. You don't have to be, oh, Matt, you're 7 feet, 3 inches. You're saying that. No. Great example of MJF. MJF is not 7 feet tall. Right. Omega looks like an athlete, even though he's not tall. Mm-hmm. Who's the other one you used?
Swerve.
Yeah. Swerve improved his body multiple times over versus the way he physically looked in WWE. Look at the difference between the two physiques. It's night and day. He's putting in the work. He wants it.
Yeah.
And he understands when you guys pay a ticket to watch Swerve Strickland wrestle, he takes it as serious as a heart attack by busting his ass in the gym, dieting. He put on size and got cut. I can't even begin to tell you how long that takes to do, guys. That takes about 2 years to do.
I've been trying. It's tough.
It's very difficult.
Finally, last news item. Yeah. Last news item, WWE, they had a few releases. Indy Hartwell, who just actually was released on Thursday, had a match on SmackDown on Friday because SmackDown was taped earlier. Baron Corbin and Tegan Knox. Corbin's been with the company for a long time. Real quick, I want to put Indy Hartwell's statement out because it was really cool. She said, "I got to live out a childhood dream for the last 5 years, and I'm so grateful. I'm just a girl from Australia who never took NAR for an answer and made her dreams a reality. It all started with a match in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, and fittingly ends there too. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened."
And it doesn't mean it's over. So one thing we learned about Hunter and WWE under Hunter's leadership is when there's an opening for a storyline to come back in, mm-hmm. I don't believe we've seen the last Indy Hartwell. I bet my house she comes back to this company one day. Mm-hmm. I bet my house Tegan Knox will come back to this company one day. What was the third one?
Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron, with respect, they've given him tons of different opportunities. Maybe not the best opportunities for a guy his size, his look, his capability, because a former NFL player, right? So mm-hmm. here's the thing. With the two women, I can see why. Because I got texted both you and Glenn when you texted me this news earlier today. I go, because they have such an embarrassment of riches in our women's division, not just Raw, not just SmackDown, but even NXT. I was saying on the NXT coverage the other night with Glenn Raj, I don't know if you agree with it, that I will pit the NXT girls against Raw or SmackDown girls any damn day of the week.
Yeah.
As far as storylines, character development goes, I'll pit them against them any day. Mm-hmm. And because they have such good talents in the female division on all three levels of shows, people have to eventually get cut because there's not enough time on TV. It's the type of thing that I don't want to see people lose jobs because I lost mine, right? With WWE, it sucks. It's not fun. But you get back on your feet, the company in which you fit best for eventually, if you don't give up. And for those two talents, Tegan and what was the other one? Indy Hartwell, mm-hmm. that I do think to land on their feet somewhere else. Maybe I think they're going to remix themselves, become a different talent of sorts, maybe new mm-hmm. character development. And I do think they will both be back when the time fits, because it's mm-hmm. all about timing in this business. Corbin, I don't know what he's going to do. I do think he'd be a great talent, and any of these other companies would be lucky to have him. He's a hard worker. He's a good promo. He's 6'7". But again, we're an embarrassment of riches for both companies, AEW and WWE, where TV time is an absolute premium.
Yeah. And when Corbin was doing like the happy Corbin stuff, and when he was broke, like he showed like with the right character and the right gimmick, he can go. He just needs the right thing.
And he showed range. Because a lot of talents, if you told them to, you told me to do that, this is a guy who Vince told to stutter, keep in mind. I might have walked. That might have been a deal breaker for me. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. This is stupid. Nobody's going to buy it. No.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like him and Madcap Moss, I felt like they ended that way too soon. Because
I agree with that. I think Madcap Moss is another good talent that mm-hmm. was coming into his own. They got rid of way too soon.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Sinclair is saying, Corbin shows up with JBL and TNA. It's not a bad
interesting.
Idea.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, and So, that's it. That was it. Crown Jewel in the books. Matt, it was great seeing you again. I haven't done one of these
ever.
In a few weeks. So, and your first time doing a Crown Jewel. So, and thanks everyone for joining us. We appreciate it. And Glenn and Matt will be back on Tuesday, and we might be doing a podcast on Monday after Raw. We'll discuss it. So we'll let you guys know. And thanks again.
If it's good.
thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.